Except your justice abound more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This thing of counting, Bergoglio, the Novus Ordo new pope, said recently about a spiritual bouquet of 3,525 rosaries some indult group had innocently offered him after his election. Why, it takes you back 60 years, back to the 1940s. Obviously for him, a bad thing. Then he treated it as almost heretical, the Pelagian heresy he mentioned. Now, the Pelagians were those who denied original sin, which I would think is actually more of a Novus Ordo thing. In any case, they believed that man could, by his own natural efforts, bring himself up and save his soul without sanctifying grace. This thing of counting, well, it actually is quite Catholic, far more than this standard issue Novus Ordo Jesuit, who would do very well at Xavier University, and I'm not referring to basketball. A spiritual bouquet. Have you ever given or received one? It's a charming Catholic custom of promising to say a certain number of prayers for someone. I got one for my birthday, and I received a number of them, and I was very touched last November at my surgery. We can pray for each other, you see. The communion of the saints. You see this in our rosary chain. All week long, you have a need, an intention, somebody's sick. You call the church, and then the members of the rosary chain, why, they promise to say at least a decade for that particular intention. Or you might yourself may promise a rosary, or even just you make the intention to yourself. We count, we Catholics, we count our beads for Mary's crown, but not our own. We leave that to our mother. One Our Father we count, 10 Hail Marys. They make a decade, 5 decades. That makes a rosary, 1/3 of the entire rosary. We count our beads using the beads themselves, of course, and then our fingers as we pray. So much of our prayer is counting. So many Our Fathers and Hail Marys are used that way to measure and mark time, the amount of time we are meant to spend in quiet prayer. The clergy do that with the divine office, and we, all of us, with our rosary. You are meant to spend 10 Hail Marys worth of time meditating a mystery of the rosary before you move on to the next. The rosary, where we count not with numbers, 1, 2, 3, but with vocal prayers that are so very holy. They come from heaven itself. And then if you say a prayer with the right intention, if you say even part of a rosary, and the rosary has been blessed by a bishop, say, well, then you can gain a partial indulgence, which is always given in years and days. A plenary indulgence wipes out all of the temporal punishment due to sin. It wipes the slate clean. But a partial, it's measured in the counting of years or of days. What does that mean? It means, it refers back to something which really couldn't be counted. That is to say, the merit that once was gained by an early Christian for doing penance, keeping a Lent of 300 days, imagine, almost a year of Lent, or 7 years consecutively. That same amount of merit is now given to your soul if you just recite this one certain prayer under certain devout or sincere conditions. We Catholics count. There's another kind of accounting, too, they used to do, but not so much anymore. You see it in some schools of spirituality. It's an old French custom of keeping close track of merits and demerits, both, you might say. So when St. Teresa was a little girl, she was given beads to count her good deeds. And each time you did a good deed, you move the bead to the other side of the rope. Acts of virtue. Later on, before First Communion, her sister Pauline gave her a notebook for the same purpose. I remember seeing some of the seminarians at Econe in Switzerland, the French, carrying a little notebook with them and a little stub of a pencil. I see Bishop Williamson doing that. And every now and again, with a very serious expression, he would get out his notebook and note something down, I suppose a fault or perhaps an act of virtue. The trouble with this system is that the approach becomes too mechanical, not to say perhaps pharisaical. In St. Teresa's convent, the nuns were all the time judging, in effect, observing each other. And one nun would say, I didn't think you'd be able to win that pearl for your crown, because someone else supposedly hadn't done something especially virtuous. As an approach to spirituality, it could lead to scruples too. And in any case, the idea is that it puts me at the center of things. My faults, my virtues, my merits are constantly being counted and calculated. But real religion, finally, is not about me. It is about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sun at the center of my universe. And in that sense, all Catholics, of course, are heliocentrists. And then if I'm seeing our Lord there, then I'm seeing him too in the least of his members, especially those most in need of thy mercy. This kind of a more man-centered spirituality is a product of the Renaissance that rediscovered man. And it reaches its ultimate end, I suppose, with the Novus Ordo, which is to say the worship of man by man. Man and human things alone are celebrated. Now, our Lord directly taught and inspired St. Teresa. You might say he was her spiritual director, and he showed her a new way, a little way, they called it. But it really wasn't so new. St. Francis de Sales and many saints throughout the centuries followed this approach. The Catholic way, you see, is to count, to measure, just as you would have to measure your eggs and your flour and your sugar if you are making a cake. But having made the cake, maybe a nice caramel cake, for example, what would you want to do with it if not give it away to someone for his birthday? Catholics count. You can't get away from counting and measuring. It does form a part of our life of prayer. But merits are made and received by this prayer, but they're not meant to be hoarded. St. Teresa says, give them away. Let them be lost and shared with others. Let them be scattered and dispersed for the good of souls, not managed like some sort of a money market account or somebody's stock portfolio. St. Teresa's little way has no counting of merits earned, especially not after she's given them away. She usually, for the sake of simplicity, especially in her last months of terrible suffering, remember, suffering of soul as well as of body, she usually just gave everything to God. She said, if I try to remember, I'm going to offer this suffering for the church and this suffering for my country and this suffering for somebody else, it gets too complicated. We have a little bit, you and I do, the same system that many of us have been introduced to over the years. That is to say, the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, the holy slavery practiced by St. Louis de Montfort, whereby we give everything to our Blessed Mother, and we let her deal with our poor merits as she thinks best. Others, for the sake of the poor souls in purgatory, make what's called the heroic act. It's the same thing. You give all of your merits away. It's an act of trust, really. The idea is that if you don't worry about yourself, someone else will, the good God, who is never outdone in generosity. So, for us, no counting, no keeping. It's a simpler and a more of a childlike way of approaching merit and prayer. But for Saint Teresa, there was another incentive here too. It was a way, she thought, to avoid the courtroom scene at the end of your life, the particular judgment. And here's where we get to the justice part of today's sermon. This was her way, she thought, to avoid being judged at the end of her life. She reasoned this way. Take the means, she told somebody once, to force God not to judge you. How? By presenting yourself before him with empty hands because you've already given all of your merits away. That way, God can't judge you because on your merits, you've given them to somebody else. And then in that case, he wouldn't judge you on your demerits, your bad deeds, either. That's how St. Teresa thought, but she was, of course, in no sense a fugitive from the divine justice. Her justice truly exceeded that of the scribes and of the Pharisees. She never made an opposition between the mercy and the justice of Almighty God. She said that she hopes as much from God's justice as she does from his mercy. She realized that God's justice terrorizes, terrifies many a soul. But she said that for herself, it was a source of confidence and of joy. God is merciful, she said, because he is just. And true justice takes everything into account as only God can. That is to say, circumstances that may lessen our responsibility or that might make it more serious. The good intentions that we make each day. He makes our acts to serve his justice and his mercy at the same time because he makes allowances for all of our weakness and all of our frailty. Why are we so hard on each other? Because we don't realize, this is St. Teresa's thought, we don't realize how weak we really are. We don't realize our faults and our frailty. And that's why we end up being neither just nor merciful to others. But thank God, God is not that way. When we're called to the blackboard, our sums never add up properly. It's impossible for us to do the math, but God, he sees things as they really are, considering our profound misery, so that his justice will lead always to mercy. How can your justice exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, who were, after all the time judging themselves, judging others, and discounting their own sincere efforts? Give away whatever good you manage to earn for yourself in the way of merit. Give it to the Blessed Mother. Give it to the poor souls in purgatory. Let them manage your bank account for you. Go to God with childlike confidence. St. Teresa said, at the end, at the evening of my life, I shall appear before thee with empty hands, and you will experience the mercy of the God of justice. which is given to those who trust themselves to Him. You can count on it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.